passionate, driven, enthusiastic, euphoric. This is who we are as entrepreneurs. But how we leverage these incredible attributes to dream and build businesses that scale and grow is what this podcast is all about. Hello, I'm attorneypreneur Josh Brown, and welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. I'm thrilled today to have Kathy Knowles. Kathy is a speaker, trainer, and consultant who speaks on the 7-step system for creating more purpose, profit, and possibilities rather than running a business that's stealing your soul. She works with business owners and entrepreneurs to reduce turnover and have more loyal and dedicated employees and customers. Ultimately, her clients make the leap out of the day-to-day and onto playing a much bigger playing field so they can do the work that's in their heart and leave their legacy. I'm so happy to have Kathy on the show today. How are you?
I am great, Josh. Thanks so much for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing great. We had a few technical difficulties, but I think we've moved beyond that.
Yeah,
So thrilled to interview you and gotten to know you a little bit just through these difficulties, I think. So anyways, I'm excited to have you on the show because, as you know, I mean, this podcast is dedicated to helping people in and around the franchise space. And you certainly have a great history in human resources and working, I think, for a good period of time with an organization, until you decided to move away from that and move into something that really spoke to you. And I think that, you know, you bring to the table a real experience and expertise in how to help business owners get the right people on their team. And I know in franchising that's so important. So I know we're going to dive into that a little bit, but maybe take a minute or two and just tell us a little bit more about your background and some of your experiences that led to where you are today.
Oh, absolutely, Josh. Well, I have been in human resources for over 30 years. I actually started many, many years ago, a little bit in the recruiting side. That wasn't really my cup of tea. So then I went into HR, and I have been an HR director for many, many years in an aviation company, private corporate aviation, and we had approximately 200 teammates. And we were very service-driven. So even though so many of those positions, Josh, were highly technical, they were engineers, they were aircraft maintenance technicians, avionics technicians, everyone that we hired, I needed to ensure they would fit in with the culture because the culture there was so service driven. We were service driven first, and then everything else came after that. So needless to say, I learned a lot of very valuable lessons to sort of come up with my formula on how to hire right the first time, because it's not like it's an easy thing to do.
Well, you know, absolutely. And I found, you know, it really varies with the type of organization, I mean, that you're dealing with. I mean, if you're dealing with a retail business, mm-hmm. that's going to be different than dealing with maybe a traditional business to business operation, service based business and so forth. I know that there's many different ways and there's many different challenges to hiring and to finding a good employee. But when you're working with people, I mean, what's your recommendation on how you sort of wade through applications and resumes and cover letters and all those sorts of things to get to finding at least a good person to start with to even see if they're going to be a good fit?
Right. And I think, you know, one of the awesome things today, Josh, is we are so blessed with technology, right? So one of the things that I really work with my clients and customers a lot with is go where they are. So my approach to putting a job on a job board, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, any of those type of things, that's great and that's fine. But really being proactive in going out and finding them is, I think, something that is so important. And it's something that business owners, because they're so busy, right, in day to day, that they have a tendency to not think about. So number one, that's one of the things that I really believe in very, very strongly, and I help my clients with. But number two, something else is the person's attitude an aptitude is never really going to change, but you can always work with them in regard to the skill set. So for me, I would always read covers letters first and highlight, you know, is this a person that would fit in good with the culture? I would go through all the cover letters before I would even look at the resumes, because that's how important that was for me.
Well, I think that's huge. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this, because I've sent out a job description for a position that I'm hiring, and as I was looking at cover letters, I was just blown away at the difference between some of the generic, you know, cover letters that you can tell people just send to everybody versus the ones that are thoughtful, you know, where you can tell, wow, they did go to my website and look around, and they did do some research. And it's funny, because one of the things that I do and that I have done when I've hired, and I just wonder if you've ever done anything like this or found it to be good, was in the job description, or at some point, I will put some sort of requirement. Like I like to put, okay, if you're replying to this, please make sure that your email subject line says this. And anybody who applies to it and the subject line doesn't say that, I know they don't pay attention to detail, and I'm not going to be interested to even take the next step with them.
Putting
something in there so that you can kind of see where, and I'd heard that actually from another podcaster who was telling the story of a famous band. I can't remember which band it was, but they always used to, whenever they would go do a gig, they would have in their contract, you know, buried in there, that they want M&Ms on stage, but they want all colored M&Ms except for the brown ones. And so, that what they would do is, when they would get to a place and they would have a gig, and they'd go and look, and if there were brown M&Ms in there, or whatever color it was, right, they would say, okay, these people aren't paying enough attention to the details, and there's likely other mistakes that are being made in terms of the stage setup, the sound setup, all sorts of things. And so that was their way of trying to ensure that venues were paying attention.
Absolutely.
To their content. And I think that's brilliant.
I think it's brilliant too. It's funny. A few of my clients, when I initially start working with them, when they have their value statements and their vision and all of these type of things, some of the things that I've done with them is, when we've been applying, you know, when we've been looking for people, is as the cover letters and resumes come in, I would actually send them the vision statement and everything that had to do with that, and say, if you're still interested, please get back with me and let me know, because it's that important, right?
Absolutely. And I know too that, you know, what do you recommend for businesses? And again, these are questions that I get, so I'm just saying, well, I have you on the show, I might as well answer them, because it's people who are listening in who are asking these types of questions, which is, you know,
right,
when you hire somebody on, and you can never be sure, right? I mean, someone could put together a great cover letter. Somebody could have a great experiences, a great background, but sometimes you just don't know till you get them in the position. Do you recommend doing trial runs with people? In other words, you know, hey, let's try this out for the first month or so, or is that difficult to do because it shows somewhat of a lack of commitment from the employer side?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the places where I've actually done trial runs, Josh, is in the interview. So let's say that I'm interviewing someone and I'm not exactly 100% sure. There were some areas that caused concern. Let's say they were answering the questions great, but there was just something in my gut, right, that wasn't matching up. So what I've asked people to do is, if it's sales, do a ride along. If it's someone that's working a receptionist role or a front desk or a greeter type role, have them just, it doesn't have to be all day. It's just for a period of time, where it's a short period of time, have them in that position. And that is something, number one, that is so powerful. And again, we're not talking an all day thing. We're not doing anything along those lines. But what we are doing is putting them in that hot seat for a period of just a few minutes to see how they do with it. So that's where role plays come in really strong. And different examples that you can use within your own business. But one of the things I found is I think sometimes where business owners drop the ball is, you know, you hear all the time, hire slow, fire fast. And the truth is sometimes where someone may go wrong is in leadership. The leadership of the CEO or the
absolutely
owner.
Yeah.
And you know, the new team member that you've hired can only fulfill the position as clear as you are on the position. I think that's really important. I do believe in introductory periods. I do like 90 days, and I believe in a very strong orientation process, because I think sometimes organizations really drop the ball in onboarding, and it's critical that they are onboarded the right way.
Yeah. And you know, you raise a great point, because in the franchise space, we see this often where, you know, particularly if you have a franchisee who's just recently bought into a system and now is essentially running a franchise business, and they're doing so based off of an operations manual or a plan and a strategy that somebody else has put together. So now they're right there to follow it. And sometimes you get systems that those plans aren't as well thought out as they should be, or perhaps they're early on in their franchise journey, and so they're just figuring things out too. And you plug somebody in as an owner, and they don't really know what they're doing, and they don't have the confidence, that certainly is gonna flow downhill to how they hire their employees, how they describe to them what their job responsibilities are going to be, how they ensure that they're doing the right things, because they don't know themselves. So I think that's a great lesson, or a great reminder for people out there who are considering buying a franchise and getting into a franchise business, that you really have to have a great understanding of that business if you're going to hope to bring on employees who you can keep, you know, and who will buy into that business, because so much of it, as you said, I think does come down to leadership and how you lead, with the understanding is that, you know, probably 50% of the time you're going to be wrong. I mean, really, yes. Right? I mean,
yes.
I mean, you just have to think about that. Now, I'm curious, because you hear a lot about the difference in generations, and now that we're in the millennial generation, and obviously millennials have grown up very differently from, let's say, my generation, Generation X or others. You know, with computers, technology, and really with the idea that work can be done anywhere, and really mixing work and pleasure, and really finding, you know, a lot of millennials are interested in finding a lot of purpose in the work that they do, and working with companies that have purpose-driven missions and so on and so forth. Are you finding that in working with millennials? And if so, what are some of the things that you found that business owners, franchise owners can do to help create a good environment for them as well?
Absolutely. You know, you always hear mixed conversations when it comes to millennials, right? But I love what they're bringing to the workplace. And if there's two things, words of advice I would give is, number one, clarity equals focus. So the more clear the entire organization is, and I know that, you know, certain franchises have their own feel to them, right? Mm-hmm. But as an owner, as a franchise owner, you bring in your own values, your own energy, shall you say. And the more clear you are on that with your whole entire team, the easier it will be for you to work with the millennials, because when they're more clear, they're much more focused. And to give them whatever their role is, to allow them to understand what that is, to walk away, to not micromanage, and to listen to their feedback. Because they're going to have some really amazing ideas of maybe what could change or what could be shifted or how to have more fun at work. And when they're not listened to, they immediately shut down.
Now, you also help people and help business owners find loyal and dedicated customers, which of course is huge. We can have great employees, but we need customers to come buy things.
Yeah.
And so talk about that a little bit in the work that you do.
Well, what I love is when everyone is more or less on the same page, everything shifts in the workplace, right? And again, the customer can also feel that clarity equals more focus, which equals stronger and better service for them. Customers come because of people. It's like, it always amazes me how so many businesses just think that, you know, they're on autopilot and it's all about their business. No, if you really have a strong, strong team, customers will come to find you because of that team. And they will also start to give referrals. As you teach your team members to ask for referrals, to ask what can we do better, as you really get them on board and proactive and accountable by allowing them to make some decisions, the customers know that. They feel it. There's something about it where they feel that they're being listened to more and more appreciated. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable, even increasing your team and their accountability by something as small as 10%. It is amazing what can happen in regard to the customers that start, the new customers that start coming in and your existing customers that start to refer more.
So is that part of your training under the seven step system for creating more purpose, profit, and possibilities then?
Yes, absolutely.
So walk through, for those who might be interested in reaching out to, walk through what that process is that you work with entrepreneurs on for those seven steps.
Absolutely. So I have a couple different things that I work on, and it's a find and fill formula. So it helps businesses understand how to set up a whole process in regard to hiring. So looking at the org chart, how to create a strong job description, how to, you know, have really powerful interview questions. So it's everything from the very beginning of an org chart all the way to the end to coaching the person that would be managing them and orientation. But I also do my seven-step process really starts out getting seriously clear and going to the strategy of where that journey is going to be, where that business wants to be 1 year and 3 years from now, and then taking an inventory and getting clear on where we're at. And then we really get strong and focused on leadership. We have a strong understanding of where the team members are, understanding their own personalities and the natural strengths that they bring to the business, just being who they are and showing up the way they are. We get to know the leadership team really, really well in regard to their communication, because in truth, just like everywhere in life, things fall apart in communication. So how can we start to have the team open up, to have stronger communication? Looking at the true A players, how are we going to start creating goals for these, you know, these A players? You want to be here in 3 years. Well, this is the part of the team that can really get you there. So let's get them on a goal, process, and plan to get more new customers in here. So it's really looking for and knowing that you're building and creating this process and this blueprint, not only to hire right the first time, but to analyze the team that you currently have and then teach them to go out and really serve that customer in remarkable ways.
Now, what type of do you work with businesses of a certain size? Do you work with more solo business owners? I mean, do you have a preference for the type of business that you work with?
Absolutely. I typically work with business owners that would be anywhere from about three teammates. They have a heavy load of work on their hands, so three people, going up to about 40 or 50. They really haven't had a need to hire that HR department yet, but yet they know that they have certain HR issues that they need help with. And so that's where I more or less step in. I also work, though, with many solo entrepreneurs and many creatives, actually. They're quite fun. In regard to, okay, so this is me, and I know that I need to grow, but how would I do that? And what kind of contractor or 1099 or what I need to look at first. Because so often when people get overwhelmed and busy, Josh, it's quite interesting. The first thing they think is they think they need an assistant, right?
That's right.
But that's not necessarily true. You know, so often throwing an assistant at something when you haven't really analyzed it is like throwing more, you know, charcoal in a fire. Because that may be not what you actually need. You may need something in another area.
Yeah, because people get, and I know this from experience. I mean, when I first started my own firm, I mean, it was just me, and then I added another person. Now I'm up to, you know, 3, 4, 5 people as you grow, and you realize with some of the people, you go, well, gee, I thought I needed this assistant to do X, Y, and Z, and the person gets in, and you go, you know, actually, it's causing more problems doing it that way. It's leading to more inefficiencies. And so I couldn't agree with that more, because I actually experienced that over the last couple of years, where I had hired a couple of people, and I think it was probably a failure on my part to have things as clear as possible for them to do. And so what I did was I took a step back, and I have an attorney who's been working for me for 2.5 years, and really understands how I work, and I understand how mm-hmm. she works. And so we're working out all of those kinks to say, okay, let's figure these things out so that when I do bring somebody else on, I can be as specific as possible, not only in what I'm having them do, but I can give them the right tools to be able to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And it's frustrating as business owners, because you want, you know, the business owner, you know, people listening to this are probably saying, I just want this done. But yet you have to understand that the person you're bringing in is coming in with a blank slate. They don't have the experiences. They don't have the frustrations. They don't know what you've been doing unless you take the time to tell them and train them.
That's correct. Because the business owner is saying, I just want this done. But sometimes they don't know what this is. And as I said, I've seen it over and over again. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so overwhelmed. I can't get any work done. I just need an assistant. And so I love what you said, Josh, about having someone that you work with who's another attorney, who's your right hand. You're both understanding what each other's strengths are, what each other's weaknesses are, because you hire for your weaknesses.
Exactly.
Not because you feel overwhelmed. You hire for your weaknesses.
Well, that's great advice. I mean, I can just tell everybody out there as well. I mean, I just know that firsthand from doing it the hard way, from banging my head up against the wall and bringing on people who otherwise would have been fantastic. I think if I had done a better job myself, frankly, of being prepared for that, but have learned from that, and so now we're doing it a different way, but. Hopefully people will reach out to you, Kathy, because you can help them avoid those painful things that you go through with a business. And obviously working with creatives and solos, you know, I always tell people, I say, you know, when you start a business, you just kind of throw everything up against a wall and hope that it sticks. And that's hard. That's challenging. But it's also mostly fearful, because you don't know if you have something. But when you right. grow a business, or you know, when you grow a business and want to franchise it, or want to think about growing your business in another way, now it's scary, because you actually have something and you're afraid of screwing it up. And and the only way to effectively grow is through organized systems and processes. And it sounds like you help people with that, and I think that's fantastic, because it's a much needed service.
I am very, very not only do I help them with the big picture view, but I'm also very tactical. My team is here who helps out as well in really saying, okay, so this is step one, this is step two, 2A, 2B, 2C, to really walk them through, especially the hiring process, the goal setting process, the team accountability process. Because that's another interesting thing, Josh. So many business owners will say to me, Kathy, I just need for my team to be accountable. Well, again, if there's not clarity, there's not focus. If there's not focus, the team, they're afraid to be accountable. It was so interesting. A few weeks ago, I was in one of my favorite stores, and I love them. I have them on a pedestal. I just love this store. And so I was in there and I was talking to the gentleman that was checking me out, and he's really nice. And I said, I love to come in here on Wednesdays at 10:30 because I know you're not busy. And how blessed am I that I have the opportunity to do that? And he asked me, what do I do? And so I told him real quickly. And I said, you know, I really work to empower teams so that they're open to be accountable with their customers, and they know that they can make decisions. And he looked at me and said, wow, I wish it was that way here.
Really?
And I have to tell you, it sort of broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's interesting, right, to get a team member's perspective on something that a customer thinks is so amazing.
That's exactly right. It can be very different, than what you think. So where can people find you? Where's the best place for people to contact you and go find you?
Absolutely. So they can go to kathyknowles.com. So that's KathyKnowles.com. And that's my website. And I also have a free gift if...
Oh, we love that. Who doesn't love free gifts, Kathy?
Oh, I thought you were going to jump on that, but I didn't mention it earlier when we were talking. So, but I do. I have something called It's Find and Fill, and it's the ultimate playbook for creating your dream team. And it's a 30-page ebook that I've outlined for my 7-step process on how to hire right the first time. You can go get that at kathyknowles.com/find-and-fill/.
That's perfect. We'll put that in the show notes, and we'll also if it's okay, we'll put your LinkedIn and Facebook information and website and so forth on there as well. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. I especially appreciate we had the technological challenges at the outset, so we got started a little bit late, but well worth the wait. And I think that people are going to find fantastic value in what you've said, and I would encourage people to reach out to you, because business owners just take too long to get other people in to help them, and that's a problem I've had. That's a problem every other business owner I know has had at one point in time. And once you get past that, once you realize that, you don't have all the answers and it's not worth it to bang your head up against a wall, that you need other professionals to come help you, it really opens up a whole new world for you. So I'm going to encourage people to reach out to you. And I thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Thank you so much, Josh. It was great talking to you today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for being with us today on the Franchise Euphoria podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to iTunes and provide a review. Also, please remember that although Josh Brown is a licensed and practicing attorney, nothing contained in this podcast should be construed as legal advice, because it is not. The information contained in this podcast is general and educational in nature, and none of it should be relied upon as legal advice. That being said, if you have questions for Josh and would like to contact him, please email him at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next weekly episode.